Bars are all about, bars are about social things. They're not about the alcohol. Well, they are about alcohol, but I personally believe that the perfect Saturday is the holy trinity of the bar. It's the three things you need for the perfect Saturday. You need a bar, a boogies, and a barber's. You can tell the wife you're going to get your haircut, and you can go home with a haircut, but you can spend the day nipping in and out between the boogies and the barber, the pub. So that's, I think, where the characters develop. You get people who are living their life outside their home, and they're allowed to be something that they're not. Anyway.
Just to pick up on one of your points there, Nigel, discrimination against women in bars, I think, was something that happened quite a bit in pubs in the north, right up until the late 1970s. And as a result of a piece of research I've done, there's a question later in our interview, and I might come back to that. And there's different oral testimony from different pub owners and people who are associated with pubs on how that has changed, I suppose, for the better, as you say. But coming back to the idea of characters, I want to stay with them. It's interesting, you've kind of anticipated my question. I was going to ask you, with each pub, because you've, as you said, you've written about stories in pubs in a small book that you authored. And I was wondering, as you go from pub to pub in Ballymena, how does the clientele and the characters change? And do the stories in one pub, are they different from the stories that you will hear in another?
Yeah, well, I would go further and say that pubs fall into different classifications. You know, you get a pub which is known as a football pub, you get a pub which would be known as a boxing pub, you get a pub which would be known as a dating pub. So, you know, you go to a pub and you're going to get a group of people in there here. For example, this week, as we talk, I mean, it's St. Patrick's Day tomorrow, so I mean, the Cheltenham Festival's on. So there are pubs in this town who are just going crazy with people in there making a bet on the races. So they're a racing pub. That means, I think, that you choose where you go to based on your interests, and you choose to be in the pub with people of similar interests. So yes, if you're into your football, and I've listed this in the little book that I wrote, if you're into your football, there were certain bars in Ballymena that were known to be supporting one or other football team. You know, there'd be a Liverpool bar, there'd be a Linfield bar, there'd be a Ballymena United bar. And then maybe up the street, or just along the street, you'd have a bar where they weren't even slightly interested in football. They were only interested in who was in the latest boxing match. So, for me, I'm not into sports, but, And then you get bars which, yes, were open to females of species, and they became known as dating bars. So you would go there if you were looking for a date.
And that's an interesting one. I think that's something that, as you say, you're describing the different cultures and different bars, and that's something that might get lost, I suppose, to history if it isn't put down in the oral record. It's not something, you know, if you were looking up the official histories of who owned a pub or the decor in the pub or whatever, you wouldn't get that particular blend of, you know, the clientele and what the pub specialised in. I might go forward a little bit and focus on the idea of women in pubs. So the writer J.J. Tokel was the son of James Tokel, and he took over Kelly Sellers pub in Belfast in 1942. And he remembered that Kelly's was the only daytime men-only bar in Ireland. Whenever his father ran it, he could never understand why, but ladies never had equal status in Kelly's, even when the two lounges were opened upstairs. And they not only had a commissionaire on the door, but a notice stating quite clearly that ladies would be refused admittance unless accompanied by a gentleman. And it's interesting, Nigel, that you recount the pub in Ballymena where there was a bell that you rang from the snug for service, and that's actually reflected in the Crown, which is the famous pub in Belfast that, you know, a lot of history has been written about, that where there were snugs introduced in the late 19th century where women could ring for service. But it wasn't until the late 1970s that legal cases were brought forward to ensure that women had equal status at the bar. So I was wondering, in terms of this issue, Sorry, I was just wondering in terms of women at bars, from your experience, were pubs a male-dominated environment in the past?
They were, and they still are, I believe. I can quote you again, I'm Ballymena terms, which is my hometown, obviously. They were the first. Most people remember that the first bar to allow women to come into the bar were with the Globe Bar on Bryan Street, and as you say, the Globe Bar had a an upstairs lounge, so the women were encouraged to go there. Now, that was a very clever move on the part of the guy who owned the bar, because what he had realized was that Gallagher's factory on the outskirts of Ballymena stopped production on a Friday just before lunchtime. So all the young, well-paid ladies of Ballymena were coming into town with their pay packets, doing a bit of shopping, and then he was providing a place where they could sit and have a quiet drink on their own. So they went upstairs in the lounge to the lounge, which was it was acceptable, but they would never go downstairs in the room. Never, that wasn't acceptable. But it was they were their custom was valued enough, and they were wealthy enough, the disposable income. So let's make them upstairs. Now, the consequence of that is one of the things that you find I've noticed. Pubs are remembered for how they were heated, and you get pubs with fires. With a nice fireplace and a big roaring real fire, or maybe you get a pub with a potbelly stove. And the interesting thing is, you could, I'd like to put this to the test, but never have, you could lightly just explore the idea that pubs with a fireplace were more attractive to women, and pubs with a stove were more attractive to the male, particularly pipe smoker. Yeah, I don't know why that is, but there's evidence of it in Ballymena. So, yeah, the fireplace and a woman in a pub, big issues, I think.
And it's interesting that you say that pubs are still a male-dominated environment. Why do you think that is, Nigel?
It's just maybe a hangover from the old days. I mean, there's many examples. I mean, I have some experience of some of the army camps in Northern Ireland and how they were run. And in the army camps and the army messes, there's very strict rules. And but the bar area would be marked, the floor would be marked, and very clearly that a woman would not be allowed to cross this particular line. So if a woman wants to buy a drink in an army mess, she has to get a meal. A soldier or someone to buy the drink for, and that's very strictly enforced. Now, somehow that has sneaked out into the general public, that idea, and there would be a lot of women who don't feel comfortable going into a bar. And let's face it, there is that old, I've called the Strongbow effect of if you're a stranger, particularly a female stranger, and you walk into a bar full of men standing propping up the bar with their pint of Guinness. Suddenly, the whole place goes quiet and everybody stops and looks around at you. That's very intimidating if you're a younger female. So, women, yes, are not necessarily made welcome initially in a pub. Yes, they're welcome whenever they're in, and as I say, they make the place smell sweeter. But there is that, oh, look, there's a woman in this bar, and up until now, it was just us men, and men can do all the things that. All the unpleasant things that men do and say all the unpleasant things that men say and without the having to tone down their language for women. So maybe that's it's yeah, it's an old harking back then old non-PC days, I suppose.
Well, doing a bit of research about this very issue, and when things began to change, I was very interested in when things began to change and when women, I suppose, tried to challenge that male-dominated culture. And this story comes from 1978. So Eileen Everson was a young academic at the University of Ulster, and she actually was working with the Action Poverty Group at the time, to try and challenge social deprivation in Belfast and Derry, and was writing reports with the university. And she visited McGlade's Bar in Belfast on Upper Donegal Street in July 1978 with four students, and ordered a drink and something to eat and so on. And she recalled for the newspapers at the time that a man who seemed to be in charge came over to us and said women were not served there. I pointed out that this was illegal, but he said they did not take notice of this. And we were told quite clearly that the policy of Middleaids was that they did not serve women. And harken back to your comment, Nigel, on why you think pubs are still a male-dominated culture. Frank Middleaid explained at the time when he was interviewed that I felt the customers would not feel confident with women in the place. I suppose they felt they couldn't let their hair down when women were there. And this led to a big court case in January 1979, where Evison won £25 of damages. So suppose at that time, that was quite a bit. That shows you how long ago it was, that £25 was a big sum. And she also won the assurance in law that it would not be legal to make a difference between men and women in terms of service and pubs. So before that, there had been a loophole in the legislation, and she changed that. But despite the fact that that case happened, as you say, in pubs in the north and rural areas, that always isn't followed to the letter. So there are still differences between men and women. So in terms of your experience, did you ever experience a case where women tried to challenge that idea of a male-dominated culture like Eileen Evison?
I know of a few bars who still don't have female toilets. And if you are in the company of a female and they need to use the facilities, you sort of have to warn them that there are no toilets for you here. People react completely aghast about that, but the bar owner typically explains, well, you're welcome to use the men's toilets if you wish. Now, that's a gesture and a way to get round the issue of providing a toilet, but it's completely unacceptable. So, yes, I've come across it quite a few times.